All right, so you've sent us this pretty hefty stack of sources all about gRPC. Looks like you're really trying to wrap your head around what it is, how it compares to REST, and why a company like Google would actually decide to make the switch. So
Let's dive in.
let's dive in and see what we can uncover.
I think what's really interesting about gRPC is that it's not just a change in technology.
Okay.
It's a change in how we think about building these APIs
Yeah.
for performance,
Right.
in a world where everything needs to be faster and more efficient.
Right. And speaking of efficiency, it seems like a lot of what makes gRPC unique is this idea of protocol buffers. Can you kind of break down what that is and how it's different than the way that REST uses JSON?
So think of protocol buffers, or protobuf for short, as a really efficient way to package up data.
Okay.
Instead of using JSON's, text-based format,
Right.
protobuf uses this compact binary format,
Okay.
which basically means smaller payloads,
Yeah.
faster processing, especially when you're dealing with, huge amounts of data.
So it's not just that it's smaller, it's that it's fundamentally faster to work with
Exactly.
at a machine level.
Plus, it uses strong typing.
Okay.
So, each piece of data has this predefined format. And that kind of eliminates the guesswork you have when you parse text-based data like JSON.
Okay, so there's less overhead for the systems,
Exactly.
ultimately faster communication.
Yeah, much faster.
Now, one thing that the sources mentioned is that gRPC actually supports a ton of different programming languages, which seems like it would be really important in today's, diverse tech landscape.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's by design. So it's language agnostic.
Okay.
You have official support for everything from C, C++, and Java to Python and Ruby.
Right.
This means you can build this microservices architecture
Yeah.
where services written in different languages can just seamlessly talk to each other.
Now, these different communication models that gRPC offers sound really interesting, especially this idea of streaming, which seems like it's kind of a big departure from the typical request response pattern that we see with REST.
Streaming is one of the areas where gRPC really shines.
Okay.
So instead of this, back and forth exchange,
Right.
streaming enables continuous flow of data between services.
Okay.
So think of it like,
Yeah.
imagine you're watching like a live stream.
Right.
You're receiving this continuous flow of data,
Yeah.
right, rather than waiting for those individual requests to be fulfilled.
Okay, that makes sense. So with gRPC, you could have a service that's like sending real-time updates to like a bunch of different clients all at the same time, or even two services that are kind of having like a two-way conversation, which opens up a lot of possibilities for things like real-time data or even like collaborative applications.
REST isn't really built to handle those scenarios efficiently.
Okay.
It's like trying to stream a movie over dial-up.
Right.
Like, the infrastructure is just not there.
So now on to kind of the big question. Why did Google make the switch? It seems like they were pretty invested in REST.
Yeah, they were.
So what was it that drove them to adopt this whole new architecture?
So as Google services grew, think Google Search, YouTube, Gmail,
Right.
they started running into the limits of what REST could really handle.
Okay.
They needed an architecture that could support billions of requests per day
Yeah.
with the minimum amount of latency.
So even with all the optimizations and things that they could do to REST, it just wasn't enough to keep up with the sheer scale of their
They
operations.
were facing challenges with JSON parsing, the limitations of HTTP 1.1,
Right.
and the lack of those flexible communication models that we talked about.
Right.
gRPC was really designed to address all of those issues head on.
It looks like Google's migration to gRPC was this massive undertaking.
It was.
The sources talk about how they used this kind of phased approach, starting with like a pilot program. Can you walk me through how they actually tackled this transition?
So they were really strategic about it.
Okay.
They first kind of tested the waters with a select group of services
Okay.
to validate that gRPC was actually effective
Right.
and iron out any kinks. This let them gather data and build confidence before they rolled it out more broadly.
So they dipped their toes in before they took the full plunge. Oh.
And even then, the rollout was incremental. So they gradually implemented gRPC across more and more services
Right.
while still maintaining those REST endpoints.
Okay.
for backward compatibility with their existing systems.
So it's this balancing act.
It was a delicate balancing act.
Right. It's like changing the engine on a plane while it's still in the air.
That's a great analogy.
Right. You can't just shut everything down.
Right.
Expect it to work seamlessly.
And beyond the technical challenges,
yeah.
they had to think about their developers. Because Protobuf and gRPC require this new way of thinking about data and communication.
Right. So they had to invest in training and tooling to make sure their teams were equipped to work with this new architecture.
Developer buy-in was absolutely crucial to the success of the migration.
Yeah.
So they created training programs. They developed new tools for debugging and code generation.
Mm.
Really focused on creating this smooth transition for their teams.
It sounds like they took a very holistic approach to this.
They did.
Looking at both the technical and the human side
Absolutely.
Of the migration.
Yeah.
So what were some of the benefits
right.
that Google was able to realize by actually making the switch?
So the benefits were significant.
Okay.
They saw this dramatic increase in performance
mm-hmm.
and a reduction in latency.
Right.
Which was crucial for those real-time services like search.
Right.
And they also saw this decrease in bandwidth usage.
Okay.
Which was huge for their mobile offerings.
And did this new architecture have any impact on their development process itself?
Yeah. So gRPC actually led to this boost in developer productivity. Those unified communication standards and strong typing and the automatic code generation
right.
made it easier and faster for developers to build and maintain their services.
Okay.
So they could really focus on innovation
hmm.
and less on those complexities of the underlying infrastructure.
That's impressive.
Yeah.
So they essentially gained performance, efficiency, and productivity.
Did, yeah.
All in one go.
Uh-huh.
Sounds like a win-win-win.
It was.
But surely, you know, a migration of the scale wasn't without its challenges.
Oh, absolutely. There were hurdles.
Right.
One of the biggest was maintaining backward compatibility.
Okay.
You know, they couldn't just flip a switch and abandon all their existing REST endpoints.
Right.
They had to find ways to bridge the gap between the old and the new.
So it's not just about the technology itself.
Right.
It's about managing this transition in a way that doesn't disrupt everything.
Right.
So what were some of the other challenges that they faced?
Well, debugging Protobuf also presented these unique challenges.
Okay.
Since it's a binary format, it's not as human readable as JSON.
Right.
So they had to develop all these new tools and techniques
right.
to make that debugging process more manageable.
So they were really paving the way.
They were.
Tackling challenges that no one had really encountered before.
Yeah.
And then there's this whole issue of inter-service dependencies.
Right.
Right. When you have thousands of services that are all interconnected,
uh-huh.
making changes to one part of the system can have these ripple effects.
Yeah. Cascading failures.
Across the entire architecture.
Yeah.
So they had to be incredibly careful
yes.
and methodical in their approach.
It was a very deliberate process.
Okay, so we've covered a lot of ground.
We have.
We've gone from the basic building blocks of gRPC,
yeah.
like Protobuf and streaming, to kind of understanding why Google embarked on this journey in the first place
mm-hmm.
and some of the challenges that they had to overcome.
Yeah.
Now let's shift gears a bit
okay.
and talk about how gRPC actually compares to REST
right.
in a head-to-head matchup.
Yeah, okay.
What are the key differences that someone should consider
yeah.
when making a decision between what? These two approaches?
That's a great question. And it's important to remember that choosing the right approach is really context dependent.
Okay.
You know, gRPC clearly offers some advantages.
Right.
REST still has its place
okay.
in the world of web services.
Mm.
So let's break it down. So when it comes to raw performance and efficiency, gRPC really takes the lead. Protobuf's compact binary format and the use of HTTP2 make it significantly faster
right.
than traditional REST APIs.
Okay.
Especially for systems that need high throughput.
So if I'm building an application that needs to handle, you know, a constant stream of data
yeah.
or requires like near instantaneous responses, gRPC might be the better choice.
Exactly. Think of applications like real-time stock trading platforms,
okay.
online gaming,
right.
or those massive IoT networks
yeah.
where you have thousands of sensors reporting data constantly.
Yeah. In those situations, every millisecond counts.
Absolutely.
You mentioned HTTP2
yeah.
as being kind of a key factor in gRPC's performance advantage.
Right.
Can you unpack that a little bit for me?
Sure.
I understand that it's, you know, a newer version of the protocol.
Right.
But how does it actually contribute to making things faster?
So One of the biggest innovations in HTTP2 is multiplexing.
Okay.
Basically, what that means is that it allows multiple requests and responses to travel over a single connection.
Okay.
With HTTP 1.1, which is what REST typically uses.
Right.
Each request requires a separate connection.
Okay, got it.
So imagine like a single lane road versus a multi-lane highway.
So it's like streamlining the flow of traffic.
Precisely.
Reducing the overhead of constantly opening and closing connections.
Exactly, yeah.
Okay.
And this has a huge impact on performance.
Right.
Especially when you're dealing with a large number of requests.
Hmm.
And it also reduces latency.
Yeah.
Which is that delay between a request and a response.
Right, right.
Yeah.
The sources also make a big deal about gRPC's support for streaming.
Yeah.
Which seems like a real game changer compared to REST's more limited communication models.
It is. Mm-hmm. Streaming is one of gRPC's standout features.
Okay.
It allows for this continuous bidirectional data flow between services.
Right.
And it opens up a world of possibilities beyond that traditional request-response paradigm.
So we talked about chat applications earlier.
Yeah.
What are some other real-world examples where streaming with gRPC would be kind of a major advantage?
Let's take financial data, for example.
Okay.
So imagine you're building a platform that needs to deliver real-time stock quotes to thousands of users simultaneously. With gRPC streaming, you can just push those updates out instantly.
Yeah.
Keep everybody in sync
without
the need for constant polling.
Or think about like a large-scale IoT network, like a smart city infrastructure where you have thousands of sensors collecting data on, you know, traffic flow or air quality or energy consumption.
Yeah.
Streaming that data in real time to like a central hub for analysis would be incredibly powerful.
Absolutely. And this is where gRPC really shines.
Mm.
It provides this robust and efficient way to handle these complex data intensive scenarios.
Okay, so we've got performance, we've got streaming.
Yeah.
What about the often overlooked aspect of error handling?
Right.
How does gRPC approach this compared to REST?
Error handling is crucial.
Mm.
And gRPC offers this more structured and informative approach than what you might see with REST.
Right.
So it uses standardized status codes.
Mm.
It provides detailed error messages, which makes it easier for developers to diagnose and troubleshoot issues.
So it's not just about saying something went wrong. It's about providing specific context about what went wrong and where, which can save developers a lot of time and headaches.
Absolutely. And in the .NET world, gRPC uses a specific exception type called RPC exception that just encapsulates all of that error information.
Mm.
So it makes it really easy to handle errors consistently across your different services.
It sounds like gRPC has a lot going for it.
It does.
Especially for applications that demand high performance and efficient communication.
Right.
But let's not forget about REST.
Yeah.
It's still the dominant architectural style.
It is.
For web services. And it has its own strengths, right?
Absolutely. REST is known for its simplicity and ease of use.
Okay.
It leverages those familiar HTTP verbs like get, post, put, and delete.
Right.
Which makes it very easy to understand and implement.
Mm.
Plus, there's just this wealth of tools and resources
available
for building and managing REST APIs.
So if you're building like a relatively straightforward API.
Right.
Or if you need to integrate with systems that don't support gRPC, REST is still a solid choice.
Exactly. And for public-facing APIs that need to be widely accessible, REST's reliance on those standard web technologies and its human-readable JSON format make it a great option.
So it really boils down to choosing the right tool for the job.
Exactly.
There's no one-size-fits-all answer.
Right.
But I'm curious, looking back at Google's experience,
what
were some of the key takeaways from their massive migration to gRPC?
Right.
What lessons can we learn from their journey?
Their experience offers some valuable insights for any organization that's considering a similar shift.
Mm-hmm.
One of the biggest takeaways is the importance of a phased rollout rather than trying to, you know, rip and replace everything at once.
Right.
They adopted this gradual incremental approach, which allowed them to manage risk and minimize disruption.
It's interesting how they emphasize both the technical aspects and the human element of this transition.
Uh-huh.
They invested heavily in training and tooling to ensure their developers could effectively work with this new architecture.
Absolutely. They recognize that technology alone isn't enough.
Right.
You need to empower your teams with the knowledge and the skills to embrace the change.
Mm.
And that's something that any organization, regardless of size, can learn from.
Now, they face some significant challenges along the way,
yep.
such as maintaining backward compatibility mm-hmm. with their existing REST endpoints.
Right, right.
What were some of the solutions they came up with to address this?
So one approach they used was to create this proxy layer
okay.
that could essentially translate between those RESTful requests and gRPC calls.
Mm.
This allowed them to gradually phase out those REST endpoints
right.
while still supporting those legacy clients.
So it's like building a bridge between the old world and the new world.
Exactly.
It's allowing systems to communicate
right.
even though they speak different languages.
It's a clever way to manage that transition
mm.
and ensure a smooth migration.
And we talked about the challenges of debugging ProtoBuf,
yeah.
given its binary format.
Right.
What were some of the strategies they used
mm.
to make this process less painful?
So they invested in developing specialized tooling
okay.
to help visualize and debug those ProtoBuf messages.
Okay.
They also created these logging systems that could capture and decode these messages,
mm.
making it easier to kind of trace the flow of data through the system
right.
and pinpoint any issues.
So they essentially had to build this whole new set of tools and workflows.
They did, yeah.
to support this new way of working.
It's a reminder that adopting a new technology often requires more than just swapping out one piece of software for another.
Mm-hmm.
You need to think about the entire ecosystem and make sure you have the right infrastructure in place to support it.
This has been incredibly illuminating.
Good.
We've explored the inner workings of gRPC,
yeah.
compared it to REST, uh-huh. and delved into the lessons learned from Google's journey.
Right.
But at the end of the day, it all comes down to choosing the right tool for the job.
Absolutely.
What are some of the key factors that you would advise someone to consider?
Yeah.
when making this decision?
Right.
When does gRPC make sense?
Mm.
And when might REST be the more pragmatic choice?
That's a great question. And I think there are several things to keep in mind as you weigh your options.
Okay.
First and foremost, consider your performance requirements. So if you're building something that needs to handle, you know, like huge amounts of data,
right.
needs to be really fast, low latency.
Yeah.
gRPC's performance advantages are really going to shine in those situations.
Okay.
ProtoBuf's efficiency, HTTP2's multiplexing capabilities can make a huge difference.
So if speed and efficiency are top priorities,
yeah.
gRPC should be at the top of the list.
Probably.
But it's not just about raw performance, right?
Right.
What about like the nature of the communication itself?
Yeah.
When would those streaming capabilities that we've talked about make gRPC the clear winner?
Anytime you need to go beyond that simple request response,
okay.
gRPC streaming starts to look really appealing.
Right.
If you need real-time updates,
right.
ongoing data streams,
yeah.
bi-directional communication between services,
mm.
gRPC is built for that.
Okay.
REST just doesn't have that kind of flexibility.
It's like the difference between sending a letter and having a live video chat.
Exactly. Yeah.
Sometimes you need that constant back and forth.
Right.
But here's the thing. gRPC isn't a magic bullet.
It's not, no.
And it does come with a learning curve.
Yeah, there's a learning curve.
ProtoBuf requires a different way of thinking about data structures.
Right.
And the tooling, while it's improving,
yeah.
might not be as mature as what you find in the REST world.
So
you need to kind of weigh those factors as well.
Right.
Do you have the time and resources to get your team up to speed on gRPC?
Uh-huh.
Is it worth the investment,
yeah.
given your project's constraints?
And don't forget about backward compatibility.
Right.
If you need to support older systems,
right.
clients that aren't gRPC ready,
yeah.
you're going to need a strategy for bridging that gap.
Right.
Whether it's through proxy layers or maintaining some REST endpoints
okay.
alongside your gRPC services.
It sounds like there's a lot to consider.
There is.
Ultimately, it's about making this balanced decision.
Right.
based on your specific needs and circumstances.
Exactly, yeah.
There's no right or wrong answer.
There isn't, no.
And I think it's important to involve your development team in these discussions as well.
Absolutely.
What's their level of expertise with gRPC?
Yeah, are they comfortable working with ProtoBuf and the tooling?
Right, right.
Their input is crucial.
It's a great point.
Yeah.
Technology decisions aren't made in a vacuum. You need to consider the human factors as well.
Absolutely.
And, you know, as you weigh these factors,
yeah.
remember that you don't have to go all in on one approach or the other.
That's right.
You can adopt this kind of hybrid strategy,
mm.
gradually introducing gRPC into your architecture.
Right.
While maintaining some RESTful components as needed.
It's like having a toolbox. Right? You've got different tools for different jobs.
Right. You don't always need to use a hammer.
Exactly.
The key is to choose the right tool for the task at hand, understanding both the strength and limitations of each approach.
I agree.
This deep dive into GRPC has been incredibly insightful.
Wow.
We've gone from understanding, you know, the nuts and bolts of this technology to exploring real-world examples, dissecting Google's massive migration experience.
Yeah, it's a fascinating case study.
But I think what's most valuable are these practical considerations we've outlined today.
Yeah.
It's not just about the hype. It's about making informed decisions that align with your project's goals and your team's capabilities.
I agree.
So as you move forward, think about what resonated with you from this discussion.
Okay.
What criteria will you prioritize when making this decision for your own projects?
Right.
What factors will tip the scales in favor of REST or GRPC?
Yeah, we'd love to hear your thoughts.
It's a great point to ponder as we wrap up this deep dive.
Okay.
We've given you a lot to chew on. But remember, we're always here to help you navigate
absolutely
these complex technological landscapes.
We are.
Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, this was fun.
On this exploration of GRPC.
It was.
We'll be back soon with another fascinating topic.
Can't wait.
So keep those sources coming.